Welcome to the Bounce podcast series, hosted by me, Dr. Catherine Munn. This series is inspired by the original Bounce project at University of Victoria, created by Rebecca Gagan. In our series, McMaster faculty and alumni share stories which could easily have remained untold or secret. These are stories of loss, grief, rejection, relationship difficulties, mental health problems, and more, based on experiences our guests have had when they were students. This podcast series has been developed by our Bounce team, made up of students, staff, and faculty at McMaster, with a grant from the McMaster Okanagan Special Project Fund. The Bounce team are inspired and informed by our own experiences as students and conversations we have had with students, and we are passionate about promoting more open discussion of failure and struggle at McMaster. We envision that Bounce at McMaster can help us to build resilience, individually and collectively, by increasing mutual understanding and creating connections through the sharing of stories. Learn more about the project, our team, and our guests by checking out our website. Welcome, Madura, today to Bounce. And as you know, here at Bounce, we're talking to faculty and alumni about their experiences as students. And so really looking forward to our conversation today to talk with you about some of your experiences when you were an undergraduate or graduate student, in hopes that other people can sort of learn from and be inspired by and reflect on some of your experiences and stories in relation to their own. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So I'm hoping maybe you could sort of introduce yourself to us a little bit and tell us a little bit about your journey through the educational system. And then we can talk a little bit about some of the experiences you've had that we can dig into.
Sure. So I graduated from McMaster in 2015, and I was in the Bachelor of Health Sciences program. And since then, so now it's been almost 6 years, and I spent the first couple of years out of my undergrad doing work in global health. So I had specialized in global health, and some of that work took me abroad, both to organizations like the WHO, but also grassroots organizations in West Africa. And then I came back here, did some work for some global health funders, and had a little shift in my career path, went in the direction of design, specifically around service design and program design. So I did a master's at OCAD University in Toronto in strategic foresight and innovation. So it's a master's of design. And then, I've been doing a variety of roles, including some design research, some community-based research, and most recently coming back to McMaster through the Bachelor of Health Sciences program to help develop one of their new courses.
Very cool. So yeah, you've had a lot of different ways that you've sort of been a student, but also been an instructor and a facilitator. So we're super interested to dig in a little bit to some of those areas. Maybe we can sort of back up to kind of when you maybe first came to university and maybe talk a little bit about what that kind of process of transition into university was like for you and maybe particularly into some of the maybe challenges that you faced as you transitioned into university, if you're comfortable.
Yeah. So university was my first time away from home. Home wasn't very far, but it was the farthest I had been. So I grew up and went to school in Scarborough, and coming to Hamilton for me felt like a big deal. And also for my parents, it was a big deal. And I think by the end of high school, I was ready to be away. I think I had a relatively sheltered upbringing. So I was excited about that piece. I think there's always that ramp to figuring out a routine when you kind of lose all of that natural structure that exists when you're living at home, but also like living with other people that you've grown up around, and there's certain routines and things like that. But I think the hardest thing for me was, I don't know that it was the hardest, but the thing that I had the most resistant to was this feeling that I could like do it on my own. Like now I was here, had this program, had work to do, and wasn't really into the making friends situation. And not for lack of wanting that, but just there was a lot going on during Frosh Week, and that is not how I build relationships. And I was really grateful for the first year course in health sci called Inquiry, where it is a class of only 20 people, and you spend the entire year working together, sometimes for the sake of just working together. Like there might be some sort of project, but the goal is the process rather than the outcome. And I've formed some of my strongest friendships there, and I owe a lot to a particular group of friends from that course that kind of just wore me down, like kept inviting me to things and dragging me to things, showing up at my door. And those are the friends whose weddings I go to now. So we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary this year.
Oh wow. Yes. So I mean, you're describing, I think, that transition in the sort of the academic piece maybe, and kind of getting your mind around the work that you were going to have to do and the courses you were going to take was maybe not necessarily the biggest challenge. Really, it sounds like one of the bigger challenge was figuring out your sort of how you fit in the kind of social environment of your program and of the university in a way, and sort of finding your people within
I
it.
think I've been really lucky that the way I learn is very aligned with the current and traditional system of education. So I'm really good at reading and writing, and that comes to me naturally. So I can study in that way. Like I'm good at tests. Like I know how to absorb information, and it comes to me naturally. I think the part that attracted me to health sci as a program, but also the part that kind of posed the most challenge for me in a good way, I think, is the you're around people and you're working in groups, and you really have to figure out, what are people's boundaries? How do we communicate? Like, why do I keep rubbing up against this person's opinions and ideas? And, usually in health sciences, a lot of our marks are tied together, so the whole group gets the same mark. So you kind of the incentives are aligned to have you figure that out rather than bypass it with, I'm just going to ignore you for a semester, get my grade, and keep going. Like you're forced to kind of contend with those tensions. So I think the biggest kind of piece of that education for me was the interpersonal and the ability to be aware of yourself, but also how you show up around other people and how that influences a group and what you're able to produce.
It sounds like it was different than high school and different than home. What, how you had to kind of adapt to university. I think you said, that was kind of a big deal to move away from home, to move into this kind of world. What do you think made that such a big deal or made that difficult?
I think there's probably a piece around like accountability. I think at home you're, whether by choice or kind of by design, you're accountable to the people that you're living with, but also there's someone kind of asking you why you're doing something or when you'll be home and things like that. And I think to some extent it's always nice to have, someone to catch you if you fall, or like someone to check in on you. And I think in university, the flip side of that was the freedom that came with that, but also me figuring out, like I went from no freedom to all the freedom, but how much of this do I want? Like, am I going to stay up until 2 just because I can? So it was that initial period of figuring out, like, great, this is new, but how much of the old did I actually like? And what pieces of that do I want to keep? And not kind of seeing it once I was in it, seeing it less as like black and white, like home versus university, but rather, oh, I'm still the same me, just in a different space. So I imagine some of those things from my previous context, which was home and high school, still apply here. But also because the context has changed, some of those things need to be adapted. Like my study habits were similar. But I like worked later into the night, and then like one that also changed later as I moved through university, where I started getting up earlier. So I think it's important to kind of consider that you're still the same you at your core, but because your context changes, you will also change to kind of respond to that. And yeah, just not expecting that to be the same throughout.
Mm-hmm. And was it, I mean, it, I guess also you're sort of alluding to the fact that sort of there's, in a way, like a culture and environment difference between home and university. And it was like a living and school environment in both places, and kind of there's differences there. And obviously much more independence as you come into university. But what was it like for you to kind of navigate, I don't know, university within your family? Like how much were you sharing, for example, with your family, or how much did they understand about your experience of university? Right. And how what was that like to kind of navigate?
Right. So I was the first in my immediate family. So between my mom, dad, sister, and myself, I was the first to go to university. And within my extended family, I was the first to go away for university. Again, away is an hour and a half, but it's still away. And I think that like made my parents really anxious. And, you know, they would call every day. And if I forgot to text them back good morning, like they would get worried. At some point, they had my friends' phone numbers. And if I didn't respond for a couple of hours, like they would call them. And I think it took me a while to just be like, this is okay. I need to reconcile that this is okay. I should at content warning around loss. So I do want to acknowledge that my parents have lost a child prematurely and suddenly. So that kind of lives in your body. So I think whenever they didn't hear from me, even if it was just a couple of hours, but they were used to hearing from me at that time, I can see, again, in retrospect, how, you know, that can activate something in your body where you're like, I don't know where my daughter is. And I'm imagining the worst because the worst has happened to me.
So, I mean, it sounds like now you're in a place where you can feel pretty understanding and empathic about your parents' perspective. Was it always that way?
I mean, it's still a work in progress. I think that it's just a different, I'm over that hump, but there are still other humps that we're working through. I think the first reaction was always frustration. Like, why are you continuing to assume the worst case scenario? And kind of the tension around, I'm supposed to be free and away from you, but you also are keeping tabs on me all the time. And so that was like a gradual process of us trying to meet in the middle around, give me this much of a buffer, or like me saying it's a busy week, so if I don't respond, like giving them that additional context. So today is not like any other day. I am doing a thing for an extracurricular, so like don't expect me to respond. And just being a little bit more communicative. So just because they're not here in my current environment doesn't mean they don't exist in my life, which is kind of how I tend to like to just be absorbed in the thing that I'm doing and kind of forget that anything else exists. So as with any, I mean, even in like romantic relationships, you kind of have to figure out those boundaries of like, I want to be independent, but that exists within a sphere of interdependence if you're in any kind of relationship with anyone that you care about. So that clarity definitely came later, and it was definitely like front loaded with a lot of frustration and I want to fly. Why aren't you letting me fly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that kind of push pull between for you and for them, as you transitioned in is obviously something that didn't happen overnight. Sounds like it was like a process that kept evolving and keeps evolving, really.
Yeah. And it was just a lot of uncertainty for them, right? This is not, they did not know like what. Usually, you know, my dad would be like, do this, do that, get your driver's license at this time. It's really good to like do this first and do that training first. But this is a landscape that they've never navigated. And for the most part, none of my older cousins who had started university have gone through in the sense of living away. And so I was kind of navigating uncharted territory, not only for myself, but also my parents, but then trying to be like, if I'm the example of person living away, what of these experiences should I be sharing with you? You know, like it was definitely, they definitely got information through a filter that was like, is this going to worry you? If so, I'm not telling you. Is this going to build the case for another person in my family going away for university? Great. I will, you know, share that with a little bit more enthusiasm.
That also sounds like it's a fair amount of then of pressure associated with that you have to sort of navigate how and what kind of information or what kind of things you will share and won't share and with whom.
Yeah, I think with my parents, it felt a little less like pressure and more just like I reconciled it as this is how I care for you while caring for me at the same time. Because I know if I share certain things, you're going to have more questions, which are going to make me frustrated, which is going to result in a whole thing again. So if I can kind of put boundaries around what I share, then I know kind of what I can expect back from them and what I can negotiate with them versus like what will scare them to the point of, you know, come back home.
Yeah, that makes sense. Were there other people that you were having to navigate transitions with as well, like in terms of friends and partners from home as you came to a new place, even though it was only an hour and a half away? I mean, you're describing kind of what it was like with your parents, but were there other people you were transitioning with as well?
Yeah, so I was in a relationship with someone who, like, from high school, and they also didn't start university at the same time as me, and they were in Scarborough while I was in Hamilton. And I think that was tricky on several levels. First, like navigating distance that you're just not used to navigating when you see each other every day in high school. And then there's also we were going through different life experiences at the same time across distance and trying to translate that. So I was having this first year university, living in residence, like starting new courses in a program that I didn't really understand at the time and was just trying to first wrap my own head around it and figure out how do I feel about this? And then trying to convey that to my partner and that excitement around it. And then also seeing that, oh, that excitement doesn't translate for you. And then also being like, should I not share that? Is that not exciting for you? Like, am I... you know, how much of this bridge building is helpful versus not. And I think we're becoming different people all the time, but that those first few years of university, you're really like kind of unraveling and then re-threading yourself into someone that you you want to be becoming. And I think that the physical distance, but also the distance between our experiences definitely made it harder. And it's kind of like you want to be, at least for me, I wanted to be present and immersed in my day-to-day experience, and to then kind of at the end of every day, that like, how's it going or how is your day, like, felt like a lot more effort to do with someone who, one, wasn't having the same or similar experience as you, and to someone who was further away, and like honestly to someone who was also changing and mm-hmm. in ways that I didn't understand or witness in the same ways that I did when we were in the same place. So ultimately, we'll cut to the chase of in my second year, we ended up kind of choosing to end that relationship. And I think that was for the better, but it's also hard when your friends don't know this person. Your friends in university don't know this person that is supposedly a big part of your life, but there's still that gap between. You're kind of like, at least for me, I kind of felt like I was two different people, like the person I am when I go home for the weekends or go home whenever versus the person I am when I am in mm-hmm. in the kind of culture of university.
Mm-hmm. So you were navigating sort of that distance with your family, but then also with your partner, who, as you point out, was going through different things and trying to figure out their own life and where they were heading. But it sounds like that was a relationship that went on for some time into your second year. And that was obviously a pretty long-term relationship. And I don't know if you're comfortable to speak to, you know, what it was like for you when that did end, as much as it sounds like that was something that it was bound to happen in a sense, or it was happening because of the way, you know, the way you were changing and moving. But what was it like for you when it actually ended, sort of having a breakup in the middle of university?
Yeah. I mean, in short, I was a mess. And it, you know, in the context of my life, like that was my first relationship, my first love, you know, you're 16 and you're like, this is the best, I'm going to marry this person and we're going to have this whole life together. And you don't really think about how, but you just, you know, you have that image. So I think that was probably my first significant experience of grief, of like loss. And you know, I felt it physically. I still feel grief physically in my body. So like that showed up as like pain in my body and like lots of crying. And also I think navigating that to move forward from a relationship, both of us needed different things. Like one of us, I wanted to consistently make sure that the other person was okay. And like, are you like, I just want to know that you're okay. And, you know, my partner's approach at the time was more like, I need to kind of not engage in this right now for me to move forward. So I think reconciling that we both needed different things, ultimately we ended up kind of cutting all ties until we could kind of move forward from that. So navigating that piece of it, like we both need different things to move forward. And I think I, by choice, worked through a lot of that grief on my own. And I don't know if I would recommend that, but for me, I think a lot of it was I hadn't taken much effort to integrate both my life at home and my life in university. So a lot of my friends didn't know my partner or didn't know him in the way that I knew. They didn't know our relationship. We weren't a couple in front of them or around them. So yeah, it was something that happened a lot in isolation. And then there's also the way that kind of changes your perspective on everything, like going from love is the best to I don't know if I want to go through this again. That whole like it's better to have loved than or loved and lost and not loved at all. Like I really was like, is it? I could do without this right now. Mm-hmm. You know, long story short, I am in a committed relationship now. It's great, but it took, I want to say like at least 3.5 years, if not more, to even be open to that kind of thing. So knowing that, you know, even if the breakup happens fast, like the way that kind of changes your shape and your soma and your psyche will take a while. And I, part of my coping was like throwing that energy into school. I got my best grades in second year. And, you know, in some ways that's great, but also, yeah, it was still a lot of processing.
And it sounds like, I mean, even though it was something that was a choice that you had come to, not to take away how much grief and pain was still involved in that, even though it was it sounds like, as you describe it and as you think of it now, it was a good choice for you to make at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think the two are, you know, mutually exclusive. In fact, I think they're probably very linked. Mm-hmm.
And in terms of when you say that you chose to kind of, was it a choice to kind of navigate and kind of process a lot of this on your own? Would you call that was it a choice or was it hard to actually open up and talk to other people or how do you understand and kind of see that?
Yeah. I think I want to say it's a choice and also it was hard. So, I definitely had, you know, friends in my life who would have, you know, sat down with me and worked through that with me. But I think for me, there is something about, I don't know if I can do it justice. I don't like explaining this relationship to you. I don't know that I could do it justice. And I was also like, I didn't want to get into a kind of back and forth or the kind of space holding that involves being like, oh my God, your ex is a shithead. Like I didn't want to go into that. Like it was good until it wasn't. And I like I know that and I am so grateful for that relationship. It caused a lot of pain, but it also brought me a lot of joy. Mm-hmm. And I think trying to convey all of that to someone, even if they're super lovely and compassionate, I think I made the assumption that I would fall short of doing that justice. Mm-hmm. And I think one of my biggest fears was portraying my ex-partner in a way that was, you know, one-dimensional because, you know, I was feeling hurt or I was feeling sad.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely a choice, but also, you know, hard when you're kind of like going about your day. I ended up telling people eventually, but you're going about your day and there's this like big gaping hole in your heart that's invisible. Mm-hmm. Nobody else sees. And you're kind of like, yeah, let's go to class and do this group project and celebrate a birthday. Yeah.
So, I mean, and it sounds like from what you said before that, you know, you threw yourself into schoolwork and in some ways that was really good for you. You really applied yourself and threw yourself into that in a way that you were able to. Are there other things that you did that helped you sort of either on your own or ways you navigated that on your own that were really helpful to you?
I definitely, like, this has kind of been a practice throughout university, but working out, going to, at the time it was called DBAC. I don't know what it's called right now. The athletic center, the gym, or running around the track. I think the physical, because I hold so much of my emotions in my body and it shows up as physical symptoms, I think just even like getting it moving was helpful, and to just have like a way of physical release was really, mm-hmm. was really helpful. And then I think second year generally was just a busy year. It, and I think continues to be a busy year in health sci. I think it was also helpful that it was the first year of my global health specialization. So in some ways, like aside from inquiry, that was the smallest class that I had been in, and you have people that are coming in around a particular interest. So it was almost like a new community was forming at the same time that that relationship was kind of falling apart. We were also all preparing to be away for 4 months as a part of an embedded learning experience for global health. So, you know, I was trying to figure out being in Malawi for 4 months, doing this project, my first time like out of the country, all of that. So something that timing where, you know, something was ending as something was sprouting, I think was helpful to channel some of that energy into. And I cried. Like, I think that's my primary way of releasing, like, you know, the kind of cry where you're like, you know, your garbage pail is like full of tissues and your face is swollen and yeah, all of that.
I'm so interested in the way you describe sort of processing and feeling the emotions and the pain in your body, like as the way you connect your body and your mind in this kind of process of grief, but also of sounds like recovery and healing. And I guess I wonder, was that always a connection that you were aware of? Like when you were having feelings or as you say, symptoms in your body, were you always aware that that was like from an emotional source or from, you know, because of the grief or because of the pain, or was that something you learned over time about yourself?
I think the literacy around grief and emotions definitely came later. I think I'm able to better like put words to and articulate things that I was just feeling like, why am I having pains in my back? Like I didn't do anything to strain myself. Whereas now I can kind of be like, when I have pains in my neck, it usually is connected to something that's going on here. Or like when there's like a knot in my chest, it's usually around like a particular kind of grief. And that like somatic awareness, which like is, you can kind of tell through the way I speak about it now. I don't know that that was there. It was more just, these things are happening. I don't understand, but they like the correlation was made. Like I noticed the correlation, but I didn't necessarily like veer towards, is this causation? Also, like, I don't know that there was language around it in any of the courses that I took or the content that I was exposed to. It's kind of like, this is mental health, like go do exercise for your physical health. And like, great. And like, even that the literacy around grief was not, like it was very recent, and the fact that grief can show up as physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, relational is all very, very new to me. And I wish I had known that earlier to know that, oh, these things that are seemingly unrelated are very related. Like earlier in the pandemic, looking at the way grief manifests physically, and you're like, oh, I could think I have COVID, but I'm actually working through grief. Because of some of the overlap, and you know, you don't know until you get tested. And Yeah, so definitely did not have that literacy then.
Yeah, that's really fascinating to hear that you can, I mean, you can articulate that so well now, how you feel stress in your body, how you feel grief in your body, how you, but for many of us, I think, you know, as we're going through these things, we can't connect those things together. You know, we can't connect the fact that we ended our relationship with the pain we might have in our shoulder or our belly or whatever. Yeah. It sounds like you over time were able to put those, like link those things together and understand those connections. But how did you do that? Like, how do you think you figured that out? I guess is what I'm interested in, because it sounds like it wasn't necessarily natural. It took work to figure that out. So I don't know if you can, I know a hard question, but are there ways that you kind of figured that out yourself over time or with other people? I'm not sure how you figured that out.
I think part of it is I think I'm at my core, I am a researcher and a storyteller. So like trying to unpack and understand is has always been there. And I think like seeing myself as a research subject, and like noticing like when I do this, this happens. Like why? Or why do I keep doing this thing across all my relationships or across all of these projects? And I think like part of that is also not taking myself too seriously, to be like, wow, I'm in this hole again. Like, that's hilarious. Like, let's figure out what's causing that. Mm-hmm. So that combination of like treating myself as my own research subject, but also that compassion that comes with, well, here I am, flat on my face again, like let's laugh at it and figure out what went wrong. And I think the other piece around body is, I kind of think of my body as this like mostly an independent entity that's kind of like, I know what I'm doing, as long as you're not, excuse my French, fucking things up, like in a big way, I'm going to kind of just keep doing my thing. I'm going to digest, I'm going to sleep, I'm going to, you know, go to the bathroom, I'm going to do all these things. And I think when I start feeling symptoms in my body, that is my body being like, listen, whatever you're doing is not working for me. And I've tried to kind of use my own resources to deal with it, but you know, you're not making this any easier, and I need you to pay attention in a way that we can work together, because I'm not your servant. You know, like I'm not just going to be okay with whatever you're doing. I'm very patient and I'm working in service to you, but I'm not your servant. So therefore we need to work together. It's kind of like the internal dialogue. And I think the moments when I felt the most pain in my body is when I'm like, oh, like I'm fine. Mm-hmm. Like that's not a thing. Like I'm actually really great. And my body's like, that's interesting that you're saying that, but that's not what we're feeling inside. So I'm just gonna like really have you feel a lot of pain in your shoulder. And it progresses. And then I start like feeling it in my neck, and then I start getting headaches, and then I can't sleep. And that's when I pay attention, because when I can't sleep, I can't do work.
I'm so interested in, yeah, you sort of describing, you're like an emotional, you're like an emotional detective. Like you're kind of looking at your mind and your body as, you know, and the things that are happening and the things that you're kind of observing in them, and then trying to understand, why am I feeling that right now? And then over time figuring out ways to connect those things together, like what's happening in your environment and your world and maybe your mind with what's happening in your body, and then helping you figure out then how to deal with that, how to address that in a different way so you don't feel that pain.
Yeah. And I think my body's also, again, this is a more recent kind of connection and point of inquiry, but I think my body's also the access point to like my ancestors and the generations before me, because, you know, aside from my mom and my grandmother or my dad and my grandparents, like I don't really know anyone else in my lineage or kind of what they've experienced. But there are times when I feel an intensity of emotion around a particular topic, or like particularly angry, where I'm like, this is disproportionate to this current situation. Like, I don't think being angry is bad, but I feel like the amount of anger in my body right now is not just mine. And that's an interesting That for me was like a really unlocking access point to be like, oh, my body is also a vessel that was that is kind of held on to things through generations. And I think that the scientific language for that now is epigenetics and how things are passed down. But people have been talking about that for years, like long before epigenetics was a thing. So that also, that connection to my body also makes me feel grounded in that broader sense of feeling connected to my own lineage and ancestry. And that point of this may not all be mine, which is sometimes frustrating, but also sometimes comforting to know that, okay, like I've inherited this, and what do I need to do in my lifetime to either process this or pass it along in a way that's safe or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's a fascinating way to think about it. And that's lots of food for thought, I think. I think that we could probably talk a lot longer, and I think maybe we will have to, because I know that there's other questions I would love to ask you, but I kind of want to, in our last few minutes, I just want to ask you about sort of looking back on yourself, maybe in that first and second year self, and how you were feeling, maybe as you came to university, or as you, you know, ended that relationship. Like, what are some of the things that you kind of, I guess, that you wish you had known, or sort of maybe wish somebody had been able to say to you, if not yourself?
I think I learned this the hard way, but I would have been less resistant to kind of sitting with the pain, which I eventually yielded to because it was too much. Like, I had to feel it rather than resist it. Resisting it was more painful than feeling it. But if I had known that, even if it feels like a really long time, like on the other side of that pain is clarity, is peace, is space. And I think we have to be careful around that, because to feel all of the pain that you are holding, like you might need support. You might need kind of like different safety nets to catch you in moments of like, I'm feeling all of my pain and I can't do this on my own. But, you know, assuming that all of those supports are there, just knowing that that's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, if I can, like, putting my researcher hat on, that pain is a data point. That means I'm feeling something very intensely, and something has caused me to feel that very intensely. And, you know, if we're looking at grief as the flip side of love, then, you know, if I'm about to get poetic here, but, you know, the extent of that pain, it like is revealing around like how important that relationship and that person was to me. Mm-hmm. And kind of being able to hold that, you know, pain isn't bad. It is just an experience, and how we move through it, and how we're able to support ourselves and have other people support us through it, is kind of what makes or breaks that experience.
Yes. So knowing that there was something on the other side that wasn't as painful, and knowing that you would get through, like that it would come to a time when you would feel something different than that, would have been nice to know, but is actually hard to believe maybe when other people say it.
It's also hard to hear, you know, you get really annoyed. You're like, what do you know? What do you know about the specific pain that I think only I feel right now in this intensity? So I don't know if like hearing it ahead of time would actually have helped me. Maybe I just needed to go through it.
Yeah. Well, I know, as I say, we could talk for longer, and I think hopefully maybe we will have a chance to in the future, but I really, do thank you for coming to talk today about some of your experiences, in your undergraduate, and then kind of what you've learned from them. Cause it's, you're so articulate and expressive about, how you've moved through that. And I think there's a lot here for people to kind of grab onto and to kind of connect with and learn from. So thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to this Bounce podcast. We hope that you have been taken on a bit of a journey by listening to the podcast and hearing the story and perspectives shared. We would love to hear more of your reactions to and reflections on our story if you wish to share them with us at bounce@mcmaster.ca. You can also check out our website, which is linked on the podcast description, and our social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Thank you so much.